Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 206 of the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
So today is April 30th. It is the
Are you ready?
It is the last day of April, which means tomorrow is May. And today we are talking about the insanity that is the end of school. Like,
yeah,
I just feel like there are parents everywhere on this last day of April getting ready to turn their calendar, like, literally or figuratively tomorrow and just having a thousand tiny panic attacks. It's
and
just crazy.
You get out of school sooner than we do, right?
We do. We're May 31st this year, which is very early. But even for those of you who are June 7th or June 14th, I do feel like May is the month where all the
rubber hits the road.
It's like the concerts, the parties, So what's funny is I know there's those of you out there listening who have really little kids who aren't in school yet. And this is kind of one of those like sit back and enjoy hearing about what your future holds. And hopefully, I know years ago we did an episode this time of year where we just kind of complained. I'm hoping today we'll be a little bit more, offer a few more tips with our experience of dealing with end of school year and also, you know, everything else that seems to happen this time of year. So that's kind of the plan. We'll talk about what's up for our families this May and kind of how we cope and handle all of the calendar chaos that it creates. So that's the plan.
Looking forward to it. Or am I looking forward to it? Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, May is coming, whether you are
whether
ready
you
or
like
not.
It or not. Yes.
All right. Well, before we get to that, I want to tell you guys about Shoot Along and how it can help you fall in love with photography, especially if you have a DSLR camera that might be collecting dust in a cupboard because you never really learned how to use it. Shoot Along offers camera classes for moms who really want to learn how to use their camera. And the lessons all come with creative challenges. So you're not just learning new technical skills. You're also capturing memories of your family with really fun creative prompts. Kelsey from our team has been doing Shoot Along this year, and she has some awesome pictures of her kids. They offer a 10-week course or a year-long course, but they only open registration a couple of times a year because you're starting with a group of moms all learning together and you're in a Facebook group. So everybody starts together and registration opened up on April 24th, a few days ago, and lessons start going out tomorrow, May 1st. Now, we did contact Shoot Along and find out that if you sign up a couple of days into May, you will get caught up. So they leave registration open for a little bit. But basically, right now, you're going to want to sign up for Shoot Along and you can sign up for either the 10-week or the year-long class. So if you guys want to save 10% on a shoot-along course, either the 10-week or the year-long, you're going to go to shootalong.com/themomhour and use the promo code themomhour. Again, it's shootalong.com/themomhour and use that promo code themomhour to save 10%.
I love it. And Sarah, how perfect is this? So listeners are going to be upping their photography game with shoot-along, but then you can also make a beautiful photo book to show off the photos you just learned how to take using your shoot along. We're going to give you guys a free 30-page soft cover photo book from our partner Chatbooks as a gift to you because we want you to try Chatbooks out. It's awesome. I'm sure you've heard us rave about Chatbooks on the show before because Chatbooks makes it so easy and simple to create photo books as gifts or keepsakes. So here's how it works. Chatbooks is an app. You can also use it in your browser. And it pulls photos from your computer or social accounts to make beautiful books. You can even set it up to automatically create books every so often. So you don't even have to worry about printing pictures or assembling albums yourself. Like, they do it all for you. And the books are gorgeous. It is such an awesome way to take the stress out of something that should be fun, you know, like collecting your family's memories and then putting them into this tangible physical thing that you can enjoy on your coffee table. And it basically can just give you a physical copy of all these digital memories or your social media accounts that you've been curating so carefully without adding extra work for you. So guys, we have an awesome gift for you. It is a 30-page softcover photo book up to $10 value, totally free. Here's how it works. You're going to make the book online at chatbooks.com or using their app. And then when you use our code, themomhour, $10 will come off your total. So if the book is longer than 30 pages, there might be an upgrade fee or you might have to pay for shipping. But the books do start at $10. We're giving you 10 bucks. It's our gift to you is this beautiful book for free. So again, go to chatbooks.com or download their app. And then when you check out, just use the code themomhour and $10 will come off your total.
I love it. I love Chatbooks. So exciting. Okay, so we're just going to start really simply, Megan, and just talk about this month of May. I'm like singing the song from Camelot in my head. It's May. So why don't we, I can go first. But like, let's just talk about the what's happening in May for our kids and our families. And I think this will serve to illustrate how neither you or I are like a superly overly scheduled family or anything, but it just is that month where all the things happen. So for my kids, my older two kids each have a Taekwondo belt exam, which is like the equivalent of like a performance. Like you go and you watch, and usually it's they do them on the same day, but Allegra's testing for her black belt. So we actually have two different days in May where there's a belt exam. I have two different class plays. There is our school open house, which is where the kids show their semester long projects. So that's like an evening at school. There's a field day, multiple field trips. I have two kids with this time of year birthdays. One's the very end of April, one's the beginning of June. But at some point in there, I have to be like, okay, what do you want to do for your birthday? And like get something on the calendar. We are recording this a little bit ahead of time in the middle of April, but even at the, by the end of April, we will have already had a piano recital, two school band concerts, like an orientation meeting about middle school that I'm not even going to be there for, but Brian will take her to. And my kids are not even, we're not even in a lot of activities. We literally only have two extracurriculars right now in our entire family, but all of them are happening in the last week of April and the month of May. So that's where we are. And then I should mention Mother's Day and Memorial Day weekends are both in May. The weather gets nice. We've been talking on the podcast a lot about spring and getting outside lately. So that, you know, that's always part of it is like, there's just this desire to kind of be outside. And then guess what? Yeah. Life and work also keep happening. That's like the problem. Yeah. I almost feel like with the holidays, there's a little bit of this feeling of like, slowing
everyone's
down
kind of on
or
break.
Like, yeah, and the weather also kind of keeps you inside. Whereas here it's like life and work do not slow down and the weather does not like encourage you to hunker down. It's just, there's just all this stuff added. So what does your May look like?
So for me, this time of year is always intense with travel. I feel like this is always when there's a slate of conferences or a spate of conferences. Actually it's both a slate and a spate.
A slate spate.
And this year, I even added one. So this year, we just got back from at the end of March. We've got a conference in late April, and then I'll be going to another one in New York City in early May. So that's just kind of boom, boom, boom. And you know how you never really get back?
No.
It takes some time to get back
your
in the swing
suitcase.
Of things.
Like my travel cosmetics bag, my travel toiletries bags is like lives on my bathroom counter this time of year. Like I never unpack it. It's just,
mine too. So I'm also directing a kids production of Newsies this summer. But because I'm trying to keep my summer schedule pretty light, I sort of front loaded the rehearsal schedule so that I will be doing the majority of the rehearsals in May. And then like till the end of the school year, and then the choreographer and the music director are going to kind of take the heavy lifting after that. I did that to myself on purpose because I didn't want June to feel rushed and I wanted to be able to, you know, take a week off or whatever if I wanted to. But that does mean it's going to be crazy. William's in driver's ed, which means right now he's got class, I guess, every night for 2 hours. And then that will go through into May and then he'll have practice driving sessions.
Okay.
Owen's running track, but at the middle school level, that's really not very intense. But so for me, it's not that May always has planned stuff. It's the extra stuff, like the stuff you don't know is going to happen. So like there's a field, like a Washington, D.C. field trip. It's a year. It's more than a year away. But there's a meeting for it tonight.
Which kid?
This will be for Owen.
Okay.
So William already went.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily feel like I need to go to the meeting because William just did this trip last year. It's pretty fresh in my mind. I know how to sign up. It's really, they want to get it on your radar because you pay for it.
Yeah.
Like, and a lot of people pay for it for a whole year. Like I think I went on a payment plan that was like 12 installments or something. So they want to get you now.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't see that on any master calendar anywhere.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that was not on my radar. And especially now that my kids are getting older, they don't always tell me about this stuff. Like notes don't end up in my hand.
Yeah.
I've got, if I was going to communicate with every single teacher, it's like 15 teachers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, or more. So it's a lot. This is also the time of month or the month where if your kids like lost anything during the school year, if like you didn't turn the library book in or you have fines or your school lunch account's overdrawn, they come knocking.
Well,
this time of
when
year.
You put this in the outline, I laugh so hard and we laugh so hard because my role as a volunteer at our school, really the only volunteering I do at our school is in the library. And so I am the mom.
You're that mom.
Who emails everybody about the lost library books. I try and do it throughout the year. If they're more than like a month or two overdue, I try and do it throughout the year so that it's not like, oh, by the way, your kid hasn't turned in their library book since October.
Right.
But yeah, I am the one who will be emailing you. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's one more
and
thing.
And I am the mom who might not respond right away because I have, like, I panic because I have no idea where that book is.
And people feel so bad. People feel like it's like, I have no judgment about lost library books, like zero, but people feel like
it does
they've
feel like
done
a shame,
something wrong.
Right?
And I'm like, oh no, like you just have to pay me $10 or buy a replacement book. Like I have no, it's not like a character judgment or a moral judgment at all.
You just have to account
for it. I have to end the year without stuff being owed to the school.
Yep. So I think more than any one of these categories, like travel or me doing the show or Will's Driver's Ed or meetings, it's almost this feeling like everyone's just done. Like everyone's wrapping up and no one's in the mood for it, including kids who are spacier than ever.
Yep.
That I feel like this time of year they are checked out.
Yep.
And teachers are done. And
teachers
so like everyone is just like crawling to the finish line.
Well, I think it's that. And then it's also all of the million little, like we know that graduations, obviously graduation, prom, the big stuff, the big school play, those are going to be on the calendar and be accounted for. I think it's all the little, like it's the last dance class of the semester.
Yes.
So we're going to all wear red and like, do
it's
this
death
little,
by a thousand
it's
cuts.
Death by a thousand cuts. And no one of those things. And in the second half of today's show, we're going to get more into school and classroom stuff. So we're just talking like in general, in life in May, it's those sort of casual things that you only get, like you said, the meeting at school, you only maybe get a week's notice instead of a couple months. But this time of year, that sometimes could leave you with a week where there's like something every single night.
Yeah.
And then you add the travel in. I think, for me, it's just an added calendar. It just feels like things are more crowded on the calendar. And it's almost hard to feel like, where is this all coming from? But it's death by a thousand cuts is a perfect way to put it because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was just going to ask, like, if you look back over the years at this like busy month of May, how do you feel like your kids and your family respond to kind of this busier pace? Do your kids roll with the punches pretty well? Do you, as a divorced family, do you and John have to kind of touch base about the calendar more?
Yeah.
Like, and your own personal stress response too. Like, how does all this affect your family? And I'm not saying it has to be a bad effect, but just how does it play out? How does it manifest?
Well, I would say that peak stress for me for around this time of year was definitely when I had multiple elementary school kids and like babies or toddlers, you know what I mean? Cause I know that moms who have kids who are in school and kids who aren't in school will understand this feeling of living in having your feet in two different worlds.
Totally.
The world of independent or increasingly independent kids who are kind of learning to manage things for themselves and have to do that. And then this other kid or kids who are around you all the time and need you all the time for everything. And you have to manage everything. And sometimes it can be hard to live in both of those places, right? Mentally, it's a shift. Just strategically, the way you stay on top of things with a kid who's right in front of you all the time is way different than a kid who goes off and is in a classroom all day. So that was probably peak for me. I would say now things have settled a lot. The kids, first of all, roll the punches and also can manage a lot of their own stuff. One plus is that the weather's really nice. And so the kids are able and willing to do more of their own schlepping. Like they can bike themselves places or walk places.
Great.
And we live like I've very purposely, partly because I am divorced and I knew that I would need this, really have set up my life in a way that I am close to everything I need to be close to. And I'm closest to the things that Clara needs the most. The elementary school and her friends live by far the closest to us from anybody else. So, you know, like when we get home or when like the kids get home from school, there's a lot. It's a lot more often now that Clara will say, hey, can I go play with Sam for an hour? He lives two blocks away. I can text Missy. That can be arranged in 5 minutes. And then I just have a little downtime in the evening where I can just get stuff done and like look at the calendar.
Yeah.
And then the weather puts everyone in a good mood. And Michigan, we see a light at the end of the tunnel. Like we know it's going to get nicer and nicer and nicer. So even though there's so much going on, like I'm feeling increasingly more equipped to handle it. So that's the positive side, right? Like the sun is putting me in a good mood. It's making the day feel longer. Like I feel like I have more time to handle all this stuff. And the kids getting older is helping too.
Yeah.
On the more challenging side, John and I have to touch base all the time. Typically it's things like, oh shoot, this meeting came up. It's on your night. Does that mean you're the one who's going to go to it? Is it on your radar? You know what I mean? Or did you have other plans?
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes it's easier for the parent who doesn't have the kids to go.
Right.
But when, you know, if it's, so John takes the kids Wednesday evenings through the weekend or into the weekend.
Yeah.
So if a meeting comes up on a Wednesday, I might mentally just not even think about it because I'm not parenting on Wednesday nights. But if he's taking the kids home to make dinner, it might make more sense for me to be the one to go to that meeting. And so those conversations just have to happen all the time. And then the whole, like, the school is saying we have to turn an X. I can't find it. Mm-hmm. Do you know where it is? So it's kind of like the constant, I can't find the lunchbox. I can't find the hoodie. I can't find the school folder. But now it's like it matters because it has to get turned in.
Yes.
So there's a lot of that going on this time of year. So that was a lot. What about you?
Yeah. So I want to go back to something you said about when you have little kids and then an elementary schooler, and this is fresh in my mind. So, right, listeners, you know that this is the first year all three of my kids have been in the same school. I had an increasing preschool schedule over the last few years. So like last year, Violet went to 3 full days. And so it's not my first taste of independence myself, but it's my first time with 3 elementary schoolers. And so there's so much that's simpler about that. The simple gifts have been the same drop off and pick up every day, everyone in the same place, you know, just one administration to deal with. But I do remember back in the day, like if I had a kindergartner and then 2 little kids at home or maybe a part-time preschooler, I feel like I was able to stay so much more on top of individual classroom events and needs because I only had one. So I was like, and I was new to it. So I was like, okay, now in no way was it easy because I had little kids at home and I was like full-time momming a lot of the time. So that part was hard. But staying on top of school logistics almost felt easy because it was so compartmentalized. It was like, well, this is my school kid. There's only one, you know, teacher gift to think about. There's only one school play. And now with 3, the easy part, of course, is I have my days to my, you know, they're all in school all the time. And so obviously like that is amazing. But when it comes to this time of year, when you're adding class parties, teacher gifts, you know, field day, the things to remember, the library books to return, all of that is now x3. Whereas before it was x1. So it's just a trade-off, but I think it's this time of year and around the holidays, both of those, when I feel this side of it more than I feel the like, oh, how great is it that they all leave and they're all gone at the same place all day, every day. And so that.
I just have to laugh because at one point I had the 3 who were in elementary school and 2 at home.
Oh my gosh.
So that was for me peak.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh.
Trying to have that many teachers and things to deal with plus having the 2. That was when I was like, never, I give up.
No, that I cannot imagine. And
I did give up. That's what makes it easy. Just give up.
Yeah. Just give up. And like have so much compassion for the other. I have so much compassion for other school moms that are in different stages. Like it's all hard. Everybody's heart is hard. But when I see the ones with like a 1-year-old on their hip and then they're trying to also like come to the band concert or whatever.
Oh my gosh,
so
yes.
I know I have it really, really good. But I think that's kind of what I have observed about my own ability to manage details. And I'm a good details person, but it's the x3 that feels a lot this time of year. And that will change again. Cause like you said, the middle schoolers have a little bit less in the way of like classroom needs and they stay on top of their stuff a little bit more. So it'll ebb and flow again for me where, you know, eventually I'll have like a high schooler, a middle schooler and an elementary school. And that will be a totally different phase. But right now, 3 in elementary school, 3 times all of the things is kind of how. And in terms of like how, I mean, my kids pretty much roll with the punches. It's interesting. They are much more into the calendar than they would have ever been before. They'll come home and say, they'll tell me like, we have a band concert on April 23rd, or we need to have our such and such brought back to school by Monday. And so that is great. But ultimately we know it still kind of falls on mom to make it happen. Yeah. I will say I use like the whiteboard. We got a whiteboard for the kitchen this January. And so I don't write like everything we're doing all week on the whiteboard, but what I usually write down is anything that's outside the normal. So like a meeting in the evening or Brian being out of town or, you know, a house guest or something, anything that's outside of our normal routine goes on there. And, you know, 2 of the 3 can read well and the other's an emerging reader. So that kind of helps. I think it's more my stress level that I notice. I think the kids do roll with the punches. And like you said, the weather's good and they get excited for the end of the year. So I think that's something for me to keep in mind too, that it's mostly all fun. It's just a lot of fun in a short amount of time. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, before we take our break, do you have any like specific tips or any like, remember back in December when we gave ourselves a pep talk for the holidays? Yes. That's kind of, that was like so helpful. So any tips either that you want to give yourself or that you've learned from the past about managing this time of year?
Yeah. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, like this time of year, here's the thing. When you've got multiple kids in school, especially, every teacher is going to have a different way of communicating with you. And you can't control that.
Right.
Like the only thing you can control is the way you take that information and like distill it into your own system.
Yeah.
Some are going to send you a physical letter. Some are going to put it on a calendar, which might exist in some like remote area of your school's website that you can't even find half the time. Some are just going to like tell the kids stuff. Like I've had stuff that didn't even end up in any official documentation. And like all I can do about that is check the calendar all the time.
Yeah.
To do whatever degree I feel I need to.
Yeah.
And let whatever go that I, you know, can't stay on top of and give myself grace around that.
Can I ask a question functionally about your elementary school? I know you're phasing out of elementary school, but you've been in it a long time. Are signups for things in the classroom pretty common through elementary school? Like, you know, whatever, they're doing an art project or they're having a something. Is that like frequently throughout the year that you would get an electronic sign up?
I mean, So a lot of that stuff, it depends who's initiating it. So a lot of the teachers will ask for all that stuff at the very beginning of the year on back to school night. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the purpose of back to school night. You sign up, but I don't know what my June schedule is going to look like in September necessarily. So sometimes you'll get an email about that stuff from a teacher saying, we need people for this or that party. We need people for this or that, you know, chaperone this or that field trip. Because I live in a school that has such, high levels of participation in things like field trips, there's hardly ever a need for chaperones. It's more like, if you want to come on this thing, there's X seats open,
get ours, get in it now.
Things that they need.
Yeah.
It totally depends on the teacher. I have not found yet a system around it. I think a lot of teachers don't want to keep asking. So they don't a lot. At the beginning of the year, different teachers have like different fun ways. Like some of them have like a tree and then you can take something off the tree and take it home and it's got like the thing that they need. And then that's like a little sticky note that it reminds you that they need that thing or whatever. So they also collect a lot of stuff at the very beginning of the year. So like when we have our ice cream social night, that's when you're supposed to drop off like classroom donations, like hand sanitizer, but I know they need more throughout the year. So I think it's one of those things where if you're really like in the know because you volunteer in the classroom a lot or because you're just around a lot, you know about that stuff. But if you aren't, and I've been varying levels of that, like if you're not, then you really sometimes feel kind of removed from that. Okay. So there's that. And then there's the notes that you get from the PTO, which are, I still find mysterious. Like I'll hear from PTO and then I won't hear from PTO. Or there's also now a class, Clara's class has a class, like a classroom mom. And she emails us a lot asking, you know, so-and-so's birthday and she likes blue. We would love for all the kids to bring something blue, whatever. So I know that's not the same as what you're asking.
No, but that like, is kind of what I'm asking.
Some like, do yeah, that and yeah. some don't. So yeah. it's almost like, again, it's totally different. And so you can't count on finding out any particular way.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk. I totally cut you off of your tips. So we'll get back to the tips. And then I have more thoughts on this, on the school stuff for later on. But did I let you finish your?
And the other thing I was just going to say, like just the way that I check the calendar a lot is I also check my, like, and I'm in vigilant bank account mode because this year has a lot of expense surprises. And the funny thing is I can't really tell you what they are. I guess that's why there's surprises, right? I just feel like every May I end up shelling out a lot more money than I think I'm gonna. And it's always for stuff I did not see coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
So it's I don't know what.
Yeah. It's chipping in toward a gift for somebody or I don't know, a product like school projects and
replacing things, special things they have to wear for like concerts and recitals. Yes. Like it's just always this random stuff that I don't see coming until it comes. And so,
That's a good
I'm trying to stay on top of it.
That's a good one. Okay, well, I have a couple tips, I guess. And one is obviously to look at the calendar just constantly. But I, whatever my norm is for looking at the calendar, I extend how far out I'm looking. So usually I'm really looking at the week ahead. This time of year, I'm looking 2 weeks ahead. And the biggest thing for me is babysitters and childcare, if I have any needs, or Brian's schedule and how that translates to childcare. He's not childcare. Yeah. He's their father. But if he's out of town or working late, then I need a sitter. And there's nothing that stresses me out more than scrambling for a sitter, because everything hinges on that. And if it's, if I can't find one, then I have to make a different arrangement. So I'm always looking at the calendar probably 2 weeks ahead, and especially not waiting till the last minute to book childcare. Another one I thought of was, it really helps me to batch my errands. If Target is on the list because we've got, you know, this birthday party and this classroom thing going on and this other event that we're going to, as much as I can think ahead and kind of do a whole bunch at once, even if I'm buying a birthday gift for a party that's 3 weeks from now, which I wouldn't normally do, but if I can batch it all together and really put like a 2-hour block on my calendar to just take care of all those things, it's just always such a gift to, what do you call it? Future Sarah is always very happy.
Future Sarah.
I was very happy about that. What else? Do you have anything else?
I mean, I guess this is more like a giving yourself permission kind of a thing, but I you don't have to do all of the things. I know we say this all the time.
Yeah.
But like, just because your school decides that there's going to be like a spirit week where everyone has to wear crazy socks or whatever, like, it's, especially as kids get older, I'm pretty hard-nosed about this. I can't care for them more than they care.
Yes.
And I can't care on behalf of whoever came up with this cockamamie idea. Like, yes. I cannot feel obligated to whoever thought it would be a good idea to do these things, because what my job is to get my kid off to school every day. And if my kid doesn't care and I don't care, then like, really, it doesn't matter. Your kid cannot go to school in pajamas on pajama day, and they will be okay.
They will totally be okay.
And then next time, if they really felt bad about missing it the first time, they'll remember the next time, and they will make a point of just not changing out of their pajamas. It's not that hard. I just have to quickly rant about this. Recently, Clara came home with like a print, like a, you know, little printable thingy, a flyer. And it was like, here's all the things we're doing next week for Kindness Week. And it was all stuff like crazy socks. And I was like, what do crazy socks have to do with kindness? That's not kind to me.
Yeah.
Now I gotta find crazy socks. It's unkind.
This is unkind to moms.
It just felt so random. Like, and I don't want to get ranty, but like, why are we trying to tie like crazy sock day to kindness? This feels like a real stretch. So just give yourself permission to opt out when you can.
Absolutely. 100%. Oh yeah, I get real riled up about those.
I know you do.
Well, and just on a final note before we take our break, I think my tip to myself is just reminding myself that like none of this is life or death. Like, I think sometimes the quantity of tasks and calendar items then gets confused in my brain with the importance
urgency
of
and importance,
them.
Yes,
exactly. Confusing how much there is to do with how important each individual thing is. And I have a tendency to ramp up my intensity when the calendar gets more intense, when really it should be the opposite. Like, I should be training myself to be like, oh yeah, May is totally bananas. Therefore, I'm going to care less about everything. Like, that's my goal this month, is care less about everything, because there's so much of it. So there's only so much caring about doing things
about
well to go
it.
Around that you literally can't. So that's just kind of a general pep talk.
Yeah. And I think for better or for worse, I have almost an automatic shut off in my brain when details become too overwhelming or too, like, I almost have like a reset button where I just stop seeing any of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's terrible because it means things that really need to get done don't get done. And sometimes it's great because things that don't need to get done don't get done.
It's more freeing. Whereas my mind wants to keep track of all of those details, even the ones that really are not important. So I have to consciously be like, wait, this is not important.
Yes. And at some point my brain will trip the breaker. But you know, and also from experience, I have learned summer's going to get here one way or the other.
Yes.
And when summer gets here, we can all breathe and everyone's going to be happy on that first day, no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how bloody you are coming across the finish line, you're going to get there.
It's so true. And then by the middle of August, we'll be begging
Yep.
The teachers for structure to take them again, back
things to do.
We will want to sharpen all the pencils and read all of the emails. And it's so funny. All right, let's take a break. And then we're going to get, I think, more in detail into some of the school stuff. I know I have more to say. So Megan, Mother's Day is less than 2 weeks away. And don't you find it kind of hard to shop for thoughtful gifts for the moms in your life when you also just want to be the one being celebrated? You just want to enjoy being the mom. So wouldn't it be nice to spend Mother's Day like relaxing in bed, eating cupcakes?
Can I do that?
Yeah, you can. That is my plan. Thanks to our sponsor, Baked by Melissa. So Melissa sent over the yummiest bite-sized cupcakes to try. And this might be the best package I've received in a long time. So think of that feeling that you have when you open up a box of chocolates and everything's so pretty and they're in their little sections and there's all these different pretty designs and flavors. Only cupcakes, which is so much better in my opinion. Yum. So Baked by Melissa cupcakes are handmade with the best ingredients and they're beautifully decorated and they're bite-sized. So you can have more than one, which I would probably have more than one.
Did you share or did you eat them all yourself?
I mean, it's Mother's Day. We cannot share.
That's true.
So there's a whole bunch of special Mother's Day flavors. My favorite was sugar cookie. So it's vanilla cake, but it's purple vanilla cake, sugar cookie icing, stuffed and topped with sugar cookie dough. And then they also have different flavors. They have classic s'mores, electric tie-dye, strawberry milkshake made with real strawberries, vanilla and sprinkles, and chocolate blackout cake, all special seasonal for Mother's Day. Baked by Melissa bite-sized cupcakes ship perfectly in just 1 or 2 days, guaranteed to arrive fresh and delicious. You can order all the way up through Thursday, May 9th, guys. That's like a good last minute deal. And they'll get there in time to make Mother's Day amazing for the moms in your life. So this Mother's Day, send all the moms in your life the perfect gift with Baked by Melissa. Go to bakedbymelissa.com and use promo code THEMOMHOUR to get 15% off your next order. This is a special offer exclusively for podcast listeners, so make sure you take advantage. It's 15% off at bakedbymelissa.com using promo code THEMOMHOUR.
Yum. I want some cupcakes like right now. So we love it, you guys, when we get to feature other podcasts as our sponsors. We know that you are always looking for quality content. And we also know that many of our listeners have children who are dealing with attention and learning issues like ADHD and dyslexia. So we are thrilled to be able to tell you guys about a podcast called In It. It's the first podcast from Understood, which is a digital resource and nonprofit that supports families of the 1 in 5 children with learning and attention issues. The show is hosted by Amanda Morin and Lexi Walters-Wright, two moms and Understood team members, and it also includes the voices of real parents struggling with things like navigating IEP meetings or how to support a child who hates reading out loud in class. They've also got input from medical and education experts that can provide support and practical advice in the episodes. Learning and attention issues can cause kids to struggle in school socially and with everyday skills, and ADHD, dyslexia, and sensory processing issues are just a few examples of those conditions. Even if your own kids don't have learning and attention issues, chances are you know someone whose child does. I know personally, when I learn more about those conditions, it really helps me to understand kids and other moms better.
Yeah.
So you guys definitely subscribe to In It on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Awesome. It's such a great resource. I know we've already had some listeners go check it out.
Yes.
All right. So we have danced around we've danced around the role that school and specifically elementary school commitments play in the craziness of May, and they're intertwined, but I think there's other things that play into May, sports and, you know, but school is a big part of it. So I guess I want to break this down a little bit more. And first I'm just going to mention some things that happen in May so we can all, and for those of you at home who aren't in this land yet, we'll bring you up to speed. Megan, do your kids do statewide testing in May? Standardized tests?
I don't think it happens in May here.
Okay. No. So California,
I think it's April or March. It just happened.
Okay. Yeah. I remember you even talking about that. So here it's in early May, and I don't know about other states. So there is statewide standardized testing, which if you spend time on an elementary school campus, it just kind of, everything is a little bit different and out of whack. The kids are on a different schedule. The teachers are under a lot of pressure. Schools are under a lot of pressure, for better, for worse, but it throws everything into a different feel. And so that is there. There's also Teacher Appreciation Week nationally is May 6th through 10th. If your school observes that, they may do things like have a potluck for teachers that volunteers send things in, or decorate the classroom doors, or bring in a different gift for the teachers each day. Now, I will say our school did this the traditional May week last year, and this year they switched it. It was in March. It was right before spring break. I support that plan. If we must do something different to show teacher appreciation, like wear their favorite color and draw them a flower, and I have my own thoughts about, like you said, with kindness, whether that is actually what teachers need. But if we must, I would much rather do it in March than in May. But I'm putting it out there because I know a lot of schools, the National Teacher Appreciation Week is May 6th through 10th. So that may be something that you are dealing with. And as we discuss a lot on this show, we appreciate teachers beyond. We love, love teachers.
And I want to show them not just by sending in a picture of a flower that my kid drew in a color
on the right day, let alone like, because it must be the right day. And then you have to wear their favorite color the next day and then bring a gift card the next day. And then we had five different things. So anyway, so there's that. There's also things like field trips, a lot of field trips. I know, do your fifth graders or sixth graders do any like overnight camp, like any like big year end field trip?
No, you know what's funny about that? That was always a thing for me when I was in school, but it's not here.
Okay.
There's no fifth grade camp.
Okay. We have one, but it did already happen, thankfully. Okay. But you guys may have field trips, field days, and end of year class parties. When I was a kid, end of year class parties were really fun. They were like sometimes at someone's house or sometimes
I remember ours like taking the whole day.
Yeah.
Like, I remember having a day where we decorated the class to look like vacation.
Yeah.
And then had like little stations and we got to like we built like these little tenty things. It was really fun. We had to like lay and read all day. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yes. I love that. I feel like end of year class parties have turned into like popsicles after lunch at our school.
Well, they don't have time now, unfortunately. Exactly. Like, I don't think they have the luxury of taking a whole day away.
Yeah. Yeah.
From staying on to task.
I agree.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess I'm explaining all this in case you're not familiar. All of the above that I just mentioned, plus everything we talked about in the first half of the show, it's the death by a thousand cuts. Like you said, it requires an email, maybe a sign up, maybe a remembering something or a bringing of something in, maybe sending money in. It definitely relies on parent volunteers to help organize, which means some mom, just like I'm the mom collecting the library book money, there's some mom who's in charge of field day and some mom who's in. So there's like a lot of logistic and work that goes into all of this. And I think what I want to talk about is we are so tired and tapped out. The teachers are so tired and tapped out. At the same time, we want this to be fun for our kids, and nobody wants to I don't want to be the mom who's like, I'm not doing any of this because I'm grumpy and it's the end of the year. Cause that's not fair to anybody else. Like, we're all in the same boat. Do you have any high level thoughts for us?
Yeah. Well, I mean, besides what we just talked about, which as far as trying to relax and like not feel like any one of these things is going to be the end of the world. I always come back to active management. And whenever things are different than they usually are, or I'm really trying to make something happen, like get through the rest of the year, I just kind of have to accept that it's going to take more of my attention than it would the rest of the time. You know what I mean? So like the way I approach it has to change. I can't expect a busy month to fit the way I usually do things because it just doesn't fit. So one thing I sometimes do is I will find almost ways to incorporate like staying on top of things into my most relaxed, like into a time of day I enjoy. If you're checking folders and email and getting all these notices and you're doing it during your grumpiest time of the day, which I know for you is 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me is probably when I feel the most harried is probably right before the kids go out the door in the morning. Cause I'm not a super great morning person. Of course, you're going to be even grumpier. Or if it's kind of all trickling in and it's just like, feels like it just never ends.
Yeah.
So like, if you can set aside time, shut your bedroom door. That's what I would do. Go in, pour a cup of tea, go in my room, shut the door and look through everything all at once and try to mentally absorb what's happening. Not while there's a kid tugging on my sleeve, asking me for a snack or telling me some random story because sometimes you'll think that you can multitask that stuff.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to listen with one ear to your kid telling you like something you really don't care about, and it's like that, it sounds like it's like the adult version of wah, wah, wah. And you're also trying to deal with the fact that you have to remember five special things next week, you lose your cool.
Yeah.
You know? So that's, I guess, one. Go ahead.
I know. I love that. I was also thinking, I have started to kind of do that naturally. Most of our things come through one single app, or it's not just an app. It's the online thing as well. It's called Parent Square. So you can set it to send you emails with every new notification, but I have it come as a digest at the end of the day, which is kind of nice. But it does, I eventually need to set aside time to go in there and go through all of the different posts from the different teachers. Some of it's action required and some of it isn't. But I like what you're saying about like just surrendering to the fact that you may need 30 or 40 minutes a day for a while to just process everything. And then to do the next thing with that information. So for us, going back to the signups, we just get a lot of signups for, it's not that they're asking for our volunteer time necessarily. It could be like send in empty paper towel rolls because we're making robots. It's those little things. And it's stuff that everybody's happy to do. But if you feel like you're falling behind, it's almost like they all get lumped together and you lose what's important. What does everybody have to do? Like pay for the eighth grade field trip next year or whatever, versus what is just if you have paper towels laying around, like send in your rolls. So I think what you're saying about building in that time to just sort through it all and then take the next action, whether that is like, and an action could be like, you know what, I'm sitting out field day this year. Like I'm not going to sign up to volunteer. And so the action could be to like completely move it off your plate entirely, or an action could be you're going to decide to do something. I think I was going to say for the signups and the volunteering, we get asked for a lot of food. Violet's only in kindergarten. So they do a lot of like craft and art and cooking. And I love that they do, but it does make for a lot of like, it's not something they could have asked for all at the beginning of the year. It's like a rolling thing. And so I try to, when I am able to sign up to bring something, I try to sign up for a whole bunch at once. So like they're making Play-Doh, and they'll divide it up into like, you know, someone needs to get the cream of tartar, someone needs to get the flour, someone needs to get the salt. I would rather be the hero for that
it
one.
It just does it all.
And do it all. Yes, and then give myself a mental pass and not feel like I have to sign up every time. So I really have tried to self-talk my way into like, my name does not need to be on the sign up every time there's a sign up. Like the teacher knows I'm supportive. I've shown that in various ways throughout the year. I continue to show that by sending a kid who's, you know, happy and rested and ready to learn. And that doesn't mean I have to always send something when there's a sign up, but that's hard. That is like that's a guilt, or like if you're an obliger or like someone asks for help and you feel like you need to help, that can be hard to say no to. I'm actually pretty good at saying no to that, but it affects me even over time. I'm like, gosh, I haven't signed up for anything in a while. So I guess that's my tip, is do it in ways, when you know you've got the time or the budget, do a whole bunch at once and then write yourself a free pass for not doing it for a while.
This occurs to me, like we just did an episode not too long ago about our personality types. And this is a perfect example of where those can start to play in, right? So let's look, for example, at the four tendencies. You're an upholder.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you might find yourself upholding things like who decided this was a rule?
Yeah.
Like you almost have to talk, like you're one, like your Enneagram oneness, wanting to do the right thing and follow the rule. And then your upholder tendencies, like what is it you're upholding? Who decided this is the way it is? Just because it's on a piece of paper or it came home in an email doesn't mean it's not law, right?
Yeah.
It's something that you should be doing because you want to, because you have the time, because you have the mental capacity. Whereas for me, sometimes as a rebel, so we both get annoyed with expectations, but for totally different reasons. Like you get stressed because you can't like stay on top of them all and you take them all to heart.
Yeah.
I get irritated because I don't know why they exist in the first place and I don't want to do what other people tell me to do because I'm a rebel. So you know what I mean? It's like two totally opposite sides of the same coin.
Yes.
For myself, I sometimes find that if like, just like what you were saying, if you can kind of get on, like be the hero this one time and then you feel like the rule doesn't apply to you anymore.
Yeah.
So then you can kind of write yourself a pass. For me, it would almost be like one thing I have found that always makes me feel great is if I come up with something on my own, like a need that
I
can create and solve before anybody asks me to.
I like it.
I'm deciding, like then I'm the one who's proactively deciding what's needed and I'm meeting that need. And just because no one thought to ask for it doesn't mean it's not a real. So I'm like kind of sticking it to the people as a rebel while still doing a good thing. And then I kind of feel good about the fact that I did something while still being able to kind of be a rebel about the stuff I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes I rebel against myself and I will sign up for something I don't want to do just to rebel against being a rebel.
Yeah.
And then I feel good about that too. It's really weird. Like, psychology is a strange thing, but you can use it to your advantage, right?
You totally can. You totally can. And that makes me think, like, we did an episode at the beginning of this school year called, like, How to Be the Parent That Teachers and Schools Love. And if you missed it, it's a great episode. Probably you want to listen to it before the fall. I mean, there's no hope of, we're all a lost cause at this time of year. But one thing we talked about was remembering that teachers are humans too. And it sounds so simple, but just as you're talking about our personality quirks and how we respond to pressures and deadlines, teachers aren't robots. They are,
they all have their own.
They are men and women and mothers and fathers with their own. They are also experiencing May right now. Like, they may want to phone it in every gosh darn day, and they can't because it's their job and they love your children, but they're also figuring out how to respond to the pressures of May. They also can't wait for summer, and they may have a lot more compassion for you than you think. Like, so when it feels like the asks are a lot this time of year, I guess it just helps to remember that, like, maybe the expectations are also a little bit more flexible. Like, yes, there's a lot to do, but hopefully everyone's a little more forgiving because we're all in the same boat.
Well, and I guess to just put a fine point on it and possibly sound, make it sound like I'm being a jerk a little bit, is like, you know, of all of these requests, how many are actually even coming from the teacher? Like, does it, like, I think we look at the most important relationship with adults in my kids' life outside of my home is with their teachers, right? So, like, in the school, what the PTO moms think means a lot less to me. Like, what some random classroom mom thinks, and this is not a slight to anybody, it's just that the relationship I feel like I have to maintain that means the most to my kid is the relationship with her teacher.
Yeah.
So I can't make everybody happy.
Right.
And the teachers aren't the ones coming up with half the stuff anyway.
Oh my
gosh. So like, why do I put them all in the same bucket?
Yeah.
Like, why do I mentally feel like an ask from someone I've never met who just happens to be chairing this committee is on the same footing as something a teacher genuinely needs? Like, they're not the same. Like, they're not the same importance.
Right.
It's like a buzzing mosquito. When you have a million buzzing mosquitoes, it's hard to tell which mosquito is the one that's in your ear. It's like, so you internalize them all the same, but they're not all the same.
Right.
So all those requests are not the same. I totally agree. I think that teachers probably expect a lot less of us than we think that they do. And I would also say this, as far as your kids, like, everyone's looking forward right now to summer. Where I am right now, like, the weather and the promise of better weather is also making everybody optimistic, but just in general, we're all trying to get there. Our kids don't need us to make their lives good for them right now. Their lives are going to be great. Like, in a month, they're going to be in summer break, like kid heaven, right?
Yes.
So it's not going to ruin their lives if May isn't awesome.
No, I totally agree. And when you were talking about the primary relationship being the one with the teacher, I was also thinking about, like, your primary role as a school mom is mostly centered around your individual kids' experience. So like, if it helps to dial it back, and of course we want our schools to succeed as a whole, and we want to contribute to the causes that help the whole school, obviously. But at the same time, if it gets overwhelming, I think you can dial it all the way back to your own kid. And we've talked about this with regard to school before, that, like, your kid may not be interested in pajama day. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. You know, you may already have done an amazing gift at the holidays for your teacher. You don't, you maybe don't need to send anything on the last day.
You don't have anything
to
prove.
Like, you don't have. And so when we dial it back and just look at, how's my kid experiencing this end of first grade or second grade? If they're happy and having fun, if they're ready for summer, if they get super excited about all the end of school year stuff and they want to wear the red spirit wear or whatever, great. But, like, sometimes I think we take the top down information and assume it's of vital importance to our kid and our family.
Exactly.
When really it should be like an opt-in menu.
Yep.
That's why.
And like we go back to again and again and again and again and again, if you just ask yourself why you're doing something and it's not because you believe it's important for you and your child, and because you're doing it because what the other moms will think, what the teacher will believe it, even what the teacher will think, unless it's benefiting the teacher in a real way, it's irrelevant, and it makes you make choices that don't necessarily support what you really think is important.
And if you're at the beginning,
you could do that every now and then, but if you do it all the time.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. If you're at the beginning of this journey, like, this is a marathon. You are going to have kids in elementary school, if you have multiple kids, for many years.
Yeah.
So you don't need to knock it out of the park all the time the first year. Right. or you'll probably in fact,
it's maybe a good idea to start small.
Oh, totally.
And grow.
Totally. Okay. So the last thing I thought we could touch on before we wrap is something that is unavoidable. And that is the amount of stuff that starts to come home at the end of the school year. I'll just offer that our school has done a really good job. I think of our preschool did this, and then the lower grades at our elementary school, of creating some kind of portfolio where it all comes home at least in one, either like in a big folder or almost in like a book, like a laminated book. So there's less, and I'm talking mostly about the artwork or maybe like the really special pieces of writing. Yeah. It's already in a portfolio. We have an open house at the end of May in the evening. You can walk around to the classrooms and then it comes home in a little bundle. So I will say that's been really nice. I know it's probably different. I don't know if your kids just bring home backpacks full of like, there's like the whole desk clean out. I can always tell when they do their desk clean out. I was like, oh my gosh, light it on fire. Like throw all of this away.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I throw it all away. So I will go. So I do cherry pick. I go through and pull out the stuff that I think, okay, here, these are two different processes.
Okay.
The stuff that starts to trickle in during May, I'm pretty good on staying on top of that. Like I'll look through and be like, oh, looks like your teacher decided this was the day all the pencils were going to come home.
Right.
Okay, I see. And then if the pencils are halfway good, they go in a box or they go in a pencil jar in the kids' room or whatever. I don't want to throw things away that are good, right?
Right.
And then there's the last day of school. I've told you about this before. The last day of school where I just literally put their backpacks in the foyer and I don't touch them again until August. Literally
that
don't.
That makes me squirm a little bit. It's funny.
I do actually look to make sure there's no food.
Okay. It's funny because I've said that I leave dishes in the sink when I go on vacation and everyone squirms, but that makes me squirm. Like I want to wash the backpacks and empty out all the zipper pockets.
I don't.
And fold them because, and put them away.
And here's how it happened. The reason this happened was by accident. One year we were like going on vacation, like the day the kids got home or like the next morning or something. And I truly just didn't have time. So I looked to make sure there was no like lunch remnants or whatever in the backpacks. And then the backpacks all got hung up in the, at the time we had like a foyer for a front door we never used.
Yeah.
It was, and so they all got hung up in the foyer. And then we went on this vacation. It was quite long. I think it was like a week. And then we got home and I just didn't think to look. And then in August, when it was like buying, you know, we were buying stuff. I thought, oh, I feel like I would usually have like supplies somewhere. Like, where are all the supplies from last year? And I couldn't find them. And I went and got the backpacks out and they were still like, you know, last year's supplies. They were all still in there because I had never touched them. And what was so like life-changing about that was that, first of all, I didn't need to spend the day that the kids came home where I wanted to do something fun with them. I didn't have to worry about that then. And then after 3 months went by, I had a much better idea about what I wanted and needed.
Yeah.
Like what was important to hang on to? Oh, I used to do things like hang on to half finished workbooks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's still half. What if the kids this summer
want to practice
their math and they're going to use, come on now. That has literally never happened.
Yeah.
So at the end of the summer, I didn't have that optimism anymore and I could just toss those things. And then the things that were important, like pencils that had never even been sharpened or untouched notebook paper. Well, it went right in the stack.
Yeah.
For me to then mark that off my list of school supplies I would need for that year.
Well,
I felt like it took care of a couple of things.
Yeah. The other thing that it's pretty genius about is something I'm guilty of. And that is like purgatory. And like purgatory is like my counter where it's like, I've taken it out of the backpacks. I've sort of inventoried it. And then I'm not sure when or where the final resting place will be. And that is no good. I mean, anybody who struggles with home organization, like that's rule number one is like, you've got to do the thing you're going to do with it.
Yes.
And we've talked about this on a couple episodes, but I'll link up my favorite. We have these big accordion things, accordion file folders that work well for little kid art projects. And I just don't save very much. So when the work comes home throughout the year, I save very little. And in theory, like the first week of June, it would go into that folder. And then I'd kind of wash the backpacks in. But I like your system because you're right. You're going to do that nesting before they go back to school anyway.
It has to happen at some point.
Yeah. I like it.
I will say one thing that my kids' elementary school does is they send the art portfolios home in these big poster board.
Yes.
Like, things
that's
all
kind
taped.
Of what, yes.
And I have before left those sitting out. They're too big to have inside anything. Mm-hmm. So I'll have those like sitting out for a little while until I have a chance to like go through it, decide, am I going to keep this? Am I going to hang this on the wall? Is this like more temporary? I'm going to hang it on the fridge, or is this trash? I'm throwing it away.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty particular about what I keep too. So,
well, and I almost like the idea of waiting, whether it's a week or two or a few days into summer, like waiting till, like you said, the fun, like you've made the successful transition into summer. And then I like your idea of like pouring a glass of wine or a cup of tea and saying, now I'm going to tackle this and I'm going to do it once and do it well, rather than just like the onslaught, because.
Right. Yeah. There is no emergency. This is not an emergency. The last day of school is not an emergency.
It is not.
It's the opposite.
And you're usually so happy just to get there. You don't want to then get all organized. Well, guys, if you are staring at a busy May, we would love to hear about it. Just email us hello@themomhour.com or find us on social and tell us what you've got going on, or what you thought about this episode. And also, we haven't done a Cue It Up in a while. That's where we pick an episode from the archives and recommend, if you missed it the first time, you can go back and listen. So I thought a good one to recommend was actually that episode, December Intentions for Busy Moms, because it was basically the counterpart to this episode about the holidays, which is different. Yep. It's a different animal, but a lot of the same themes. And we actually set intentions and we went into the holidays with this very zen. I don't know how it worked out for us. I already forget, but seemed like a good idea at the time. So that would be, it's our holiday special number 2 from December of 2018. You would just scroll back and give a listen. And I think the same ideas apply.
It's the same ideas apply.
Yeah. So
we are rather like a broken record around here sometimes.
I mean, if you haven't noticed and you're still here, so we figured it's like working for somebody. All right, guys. Happy May, and we will talk to you guys soon.
Talk to you soon.